When I was a little kid, I had a fertile imagination. In truth, I have one today. That hasn't ever changed about me. One day in Sunday school class, and it was Pentecost Sunday, probably about 47 years ago, I was in Mrs. Hill's Sunday school class there at Walnut Hill United Methodist Church in Dallas. And we had just heard the story of Pentecost, the story as told in the Acts of the Apostles of where the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples as tongues of fire on their foreheads, on their heads, and they spoke other languages, and other people heard them speaking the good news of Jesus in their own tongue or in their own language, and they were amazed at this miraculous event. This story is told in the Acts of the Apostles, and it's often described as the birthday of the church, where the Holy Spirit descended upon the people and thousands became members of the church right there at its birth. This is an amazing story for a child to hear. This is the idea of fire burning on people's heads. Of course, could elicit some interesting mental images on the part of children. And I would imagine that some of the pictures that my friends there in Sunday school class drew were rather interesting in that regard. I, however, had heard something different. I had heard in a Bible study that my dad had been conducting back at home the night before with friends of his from his work. He had talked about the Holy Spirit, and he had talked about how the Holy Spirit is the paraclete that comes to comfort us and to guide us and to shepherd us and to lead us through life and into life everlasting. And that word paraclete kept on hitting on my head. And so when I was asked to draw a picture of the Holy Spirit, I drew a great big parakeet. That's what this little kid heard, parakeet, the parakeet of God. And so I drew a parakeet, and I put a little out beside it, you know, speaking in tongues. Peter want a cracker. I don't know if I did that or not, but I do remember drawing the parakeet. And I can remember Mrs. Hill looking at this picture and saying, "What is this? Don't you know the Holy Spirit's a dove? If you're going to describe it as a bird, it's a dove." But Dad said it was a parakeet. And it triggered in Mrs. Hill's mind. She goes, "No, your dad said paraclete." Paraclete, which is the Greek word for spirit or Holy Spirit or spirit of truth, as in today's, the paraclete. "If you love me, you will keep my commandment, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete, another comforter, another advocate, another guide." The King James renders this as comforter. I like that. That's a wonderful image there. I'm reminded of a very cold night and a great big comforter that you wrap up in. The Message translation renders this as friend. Holman's translation calls this a counselor. I like that too, this idea of a counselor. The NIV says advocate as well. Some other translations render this as intercessor and mediator. But for me, the word counselor is the one that strikes me as most powerful. If you've ever been to a counselor, a pastoral counselor or a clinical psychologist to talk with them about the difficulties in your life, you'll know that a counselor will sit there and listen to you as you pour out your heart and your fears and your concerns and your needs, and that counselor will listen to you and listen to you and listen to you and usually not say anything for a very long time until finally you run down, and then the counselor will start to speak, and they'll say a few words, but they're usually right on target with your concern and your need. I've been to many pastoral counselors who are that way. They'll sit there and they'll listen to you as you speak of your concerns and speak of your fears and speak of your needs and how difficult this is in your life. And then they will say a few words, and those few words cut to the heart of what's concerning you. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit cuts to the heart of our lives, our Christian lives, our spiritual lives, cuts straight into our very being, the very core of our existence as the counselor, the advocate, the guide, and as Jesus says, the Spirit of truth. Now, that one's also caused interesting translations through time. Some people say the Spirit of truth, the Spirit who is truth, the Spirit who shows us the truth, the Spirit who reveals the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Spirit who affirms our experience of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are some of the variant translations for this passage here today. The basic idea is the Holy Spirit, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the guide, the mediator is here to help us to come to an understanding of God's love for us, of God's love and acceptance of us, of God's forgiveness of us, of God's calling to us to be a part of the family of God. The church universal celebrates its birthday on Pentecost because the Holy Spirit came to fill those early believers with an understanding of the power of the salvation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to fill them with the ability to proclaim that good news to all whom they would meet without regard for culture, without regard for society, without regard for language. God gave them the words necessary to speak. In the Hebrew calendar, 50 days after Passover is the Feast of Shavuot. The Feast of Shavuot commemorates the anniversary of the day when God gave the Torah to the Israelites there on Mount Sinai. How appropriate then, in 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, we have the Holy Spirit coming as the living Word of God, communicating the living Word of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, into us, that we would be filled with the living Word of God, Jesus, that we would be filled with the gospel of Jesus and empowered to speak words of grace and hope and love, to speak words of forgiveness, to speak words that would pierce the heart and bring others to faith in Jesus. My sisters and brothers, Pentecost is the birthday of the church, the birthday of the church universal, the birthday of all Christians. For we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to make us one with each other and one in Jesus Christ, and the gift of the Spirit who knits us together and makes us one, and who calls us to proclaim the good news to all. The good news of God for all, to all, everywhere. As a child, and I heard that word paraclete, of course I thought it was parakeet. Misunderstanding is common, and the church has misunderstood repeatedly throughout its history its calling. We've seen that in that when it turns inwards to itself. We see that when it turns inwards on itself. We see it when it focuses on its own needs rather than on the needs of those who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and in deed. We have been placed here in this town, in Farmersville. We've been placed here in our community for a reason. We've been placed here not just to be a social group or a club. We've been placed here to be the body of Christ. We've been placed here to proclaim the good news of the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, and been empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim that good news to all. In other words, the church, when it goes astray, when the church, when it goes awry, it turns inwardly. It looks inwardly. When the church is doing what God calls it to do, it's looking outwardly to the needs of the community in which it exists, proclaiming the good news of the love of God for all. Are we doing that? I watch throughout the week as people come for the food pantry downstairs. We've had some amazing gifts given to that food pantry in recent history. Unbelievable numbers of foodstuffs that have recently been given. I think there was one event, Regina, correct me if I'm wrong, but $700 worth?
$750.
$750 worth of food in one lump sum. Whammo! Unreal. And people come to this church, they come to this facility looking for help. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's not, and they come to me, and we sit and we talk, and the thing I find out is not just that they are in need of food, but they are in need of the nourishment of the love of God. We have an opportunity with that food pantry downstairs. We have an opportunity with our children's ministry and our youth ministry. We have an opportunity with our men's breakfast and the United Methodist Women. We have an opportunity to reach out beyond these walls to share the nourishment of God's love with all. That's what the church is called to do. The church is called not so much to defend itself and hold itself up, as it is called to proclaim that good news of God's love for all. That's what we're called to do. And in doing it, we have an advocate, we have a guide, we have a counselor, we have a helper, we have a friend, we have an intercessor, we have a mediator, the Holy Spirit, who calls us to speak and to pray, to serve, and to give. When I began ministry Monday night, we had ordination in the conference, and I was watching as over 20 amazing young people were being ordained to ministry. And I remembered back to my own ministry at the beginning, 27 years ago, and I remember how both frightening and exciting it was at the same time. And I had for me, it was terrifying to get up into the pulpit and to preach and to pray without extensive notes. In fact, a fully formed, written, longhand sermon and a fully formed, written, longhand pastoral prayer. And so I would write out my prayers in full. I'd write out my sermons in full, and I'd get into the pulpit, and I would preach them, and I would pray them by reading them. And while my notes were clear, and while my thoughts were well articulated, and while the prayers had been thought through, you know, there were times in which I knew I needed to say something different, but I was too afraid to do it. Until one Sunday, during my first year at Cockrell Hill in Dallas, the printer broke. This is before the days of an iPad, and I couldn't drag my computer in and put it on the pulpit. I mean, today I could have brought in a laptop, and today I have iPad, but back then I had to print every message and every pastoral prayer, and the printer was kaput. And so I remember taking a piece of paper and doing what I had been taught to do in seminary, which was distill down from what I saw on the screen in front of me a single sheet of paper with a few notes to guide my message. And then I did the same thing with the pastoral prayer that I had spent time crafting and was very proud of. And I was terrified. I was terrified as I got into the pulpit there on Sunday morning at Cockrell Hill and opened my mouth to offer the pastoral prayer, terrified that I wouldn't remember those wonderful words that I had drafted with my fingers on the keys earlier in the week. But when I opened my mouth, oh sure, there were pieces of that pastoral prayer in my prayer that morning, but I distinctly remember being surprised at how much more meaningful that prayer was for me, and I heard later for others, as I prayed it from my heart. The same was true for the sermon. Oh, the notes were important. Having written it out was important. Having researched it was important. But to stand up there and to preach without having it drafted in front of me allowed me to look at the people, allowed me to think as I preached, and allowed me to be open to what that advocate, that counselor, that mediator, that guide, that intercessor, that spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, was saying. And when I felt my heart being tugged at to say something different than my notes, I did. And I felt the Holy Spirit drawing and pulling me. I followed in prayer. I followed in preaching. Still do a whole lot of work to prepare a sermon. Still do a lot of research in the week ahead. Still draft out quite a bit of what I'm going to say. But then I reduce it to just a couple of pages of notes, an outline for preaching. Why? Because the Holy Spirit does lead us and will lead the church. If only we will stand in faith and open our mouths and open our hands and act and do. The Holy Spirit can and will and does and always has led the church in its action of living the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're called to do here. In Farmersville. It's what the church is called to do everywhere. Live and proclaim and do the gospel, trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead us. To lead us in reaching out to those outside these walls, to those who are not here today, to those who haven't come through these doors in years, and to those who've not yet come through these doors, but God is bringing them here. Let us go out and meet them and bring them in. Let us go out and welcome them into this family of faith. Let us be led by the Holy Spirit in reaching out with the good news and being a welcoming, loving people, anew and afresh. Again and again. I've seen us do it. I've reveled in watching the welcoming characteristic of this family of faith as you've welcomed many into this worship life and into this life of faith. Let us keep doing that. Let us reach out and welcome all those whom God is sending to us. And may we do so. Led by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the advocate, the counselor, the comforter, the guide and friend, the indwelling presence of Almighty God, who comes to live within us, to lead us and to guide us through this day and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.